Kof Gimel Eor, Friday the 23rd of May, Rabbi Ilan Halberstadt, the Book of Numbers.
Okay, Rabbi Isai, good morning, and obviously Erev Shabbos, we need to speak about the parasha. So the parasha, of course, is Bamidbar, for those that accurately said it that way. So not only is the parasha Bamidbar, but also, of course, the Sefer is Sefer Bamidbar. We need to understand the whole Sefer is called Sefer Bamidbar, but actually Chazal also call it Chaimesh HaPikudim. It's brought down, in fact, often you'll see when they write the English version of the Sefer, they'll call it Numbers, the Book of Numbers. And that's because Chaimesh HaPikudim, we find several times the Jewish people, Klal Yisrael, are counted. The first, of course, is this week's parasha. The beginning, the whole of the Sefer, we find the beginning is all about the counting of the Jewish people, where they encamped, and not just the numbers of each Shevet, but exactly each one had a flag, and each one, they travelled in a certain position, Degel Machane this, Degel Machane that. So, the whole book is called Bamidbar, the Book of Numbers, so that means there's obviously something significant in this counting. Well, Maikulehai, that we call the entire Sefer after the name Numbers. What's the inyan of the number? That's question one. Let's have a look at the first Rashi and we'll ask question number two. Rashi says at the beginning of this week's parasha, "Bamidbar sinu be'achol lachodesh mitoichi bosom lefonov mayna oisom kol shor." Because of Hashem's love lefonov, in front of Him, He counts them kol shor, all the time. Kishiyotzim in Mitzrayim, Manon, when they left Mitzrayim, Hashem counted the Jewish people. Kishinoflu be'egel, Manon, He then counted them later, Minyan ha'nesoyim. Kishuba la'hashu yishchin in Asa aleyem, Manon again. Be'echo b'nisam hukam ha'mishkon, u'be'echo be'iyo Manon. Once again, Hashem is counting the Jewish people. So the love, mitochi b'osam, because of the love Hashem has for the Jewish people, He counts them all the time. Let me ask you a very poshut question. What is the inyan of love? What love do you see by the fact that Hashem counts the Jewish people? So it's another number count. When they do like a census. So that's like, oh, the government loves the country so much that they want to do a census, they want to see how many people in the country. What an unbelievable love! Look how many people we have in the country. Is that the love? What's the chibur? What exactly is the love? It's a number. After all, it's a number. So 600,000, 603, whatever it is. A number is a number. What's the mitochi boson? Where do you see that love manifest in the fact that, okay, here we have another count. Do you read this parasha? Excuse me saying, do you read the parasha and you see, do you look through and see, oh, unbelievable, Avo, look at this. Do you see chibo? I don't know. What's the pshat in this Rashi? What does it mean? Mitochi boson, for Hashem's love, He counts them all the time. So, okay, so let's try and understand that. The concept of counting in and of itself is an interesting musag, this idea. On the one hand, we're very makpid not to count people. It's not a good thing to count. We know that there was a magefa, a plague that occurred because David HaMelech counted Klal Yisrael. So counting seems to be a negative thing. We're very makpid not to count people. But for Hashem it's okay. And not only is it okay, but it's lots of avo. I don't understand what's going on. So what does counting mean? For me, I can't count. I do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's not allowed. But not only is it allowed for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to count the Jewish people, but it's actually an unbelievable showing of love. So we need to understand, what is it? Is counting good, counting bad? It's not good for me, but it is good for Hashem. What's the difference? Okay. So these are the three main questions. Why is the whole Sefer called the Book of Numbers? Clearly this is something significant for the entire Sefer. Number two, it says Chaimesh HaPikudim, Chazal bring it down. Chaimesh HaPikudim, it's brought down, Gemara Sota and other places. Medrash brings it down. Chaimesh HaPikudim. And that's number one. Number two is, what love is manifest in counting? It seems a dry act of counting. And number three, why is it that counting for us is not allowed, and for the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, it's not only allowed, but it's a sign of chibur.
Who called it numbers first?
So it's brought down in Chazal, it's brought down in different places. Chaimish Avakudin.
Which is where?
The Gemara in Saita brings that thing, stuff Lamed Zayin and Beis, Medrash Rabbah.
Had the Goyim already called the numbers?
No, they got it from us. They got it from us, yeah. It's got Jewish oranges, yeah.
It's interesting that they didn't call it, Einstein said last night, it's interesting that they didn't call it desert.
They didn't call it desert, yeah.
Yeah. Why didn't they call the book desert?
Yeah. but Chazal, it's a Jewish thing. Chazal call it Chemesh HaBekidim, yeah. So, now the word for numbering in Hebrew, everything, we know everything is contained in the words. All you have to do is analyze the words, study the words themselves, and we know exactly all the terutzim fall into place. So the number in Hebrew, for a number, the name, we have number one, concept of a mispar. We also have the idea of chomish hapikudim, right? To be peike, to count. But the word of pekida, to count, also has a couple of other meanings. Primarily, right, one example is Hashem pokad es Sarah, Hashem remembered Sarah. The same word to count is Hashem remembered Sarah. Okay, what's the connection between counting and remembering? And more than that, we often use the phrase, you often hear people say it colloquially, but actually has a source as well in Torah, for the idea of what's a person's tafkid. What is my tafkid? What is my pekida? Right? What is my purpose in life? People will say, they'll use the expression tafkid, and the reason for that is because, and we have parashas pekudei, right, the countings. We find this lashon of peiked means to count, but it also means to understand your tafkid. And this is the fundamental difference between when we count and when the Ribbono Shel Olam counts. We're going to go last question first. Which means, when I count, if I count you as a number, I've never met you before, even if I've met you, and I say, you know what, you're a number. So when I say you're a number, I'm completely stripping you of all individuality. I'm telling you, I'm not interested in who you are. I don't know about your name and your past and your history and your koiches. It's not relevant. You're a number. Unfortunately, we know that's what happens in places that are unpleasant places, right? Prison, v'chadayma, and worse. We all know that you just become a number. A number means you're completely void of any individuality. Nothing. Identity. No identity. We couldn't care less who you are. You're a number. So that is a terrible thing. We don't count people with numbers because we're not interested. We know that a person's a rich person. Everybody has so much, so many koiches. But when Hashem gives, so to speak, a number to a person, he's not saying this is your number, he's saying this is your tafkid. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, this is who you are, and this, I know all your koiches, and I'm investing you with everything you are, and this is what you're in the world to do. On the contrary, that's an exhilaration. That's a sense of freedom, being able to understand, this is what I'm here to do. What do you mean, I can only do this and not other things? No, but if you understand, this is what you can do, this is your tafkid in life. This is your pekida. This is your mission. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu counts the Jewish people, when he counts us, it's a pekida. It's not just a number, it's actually a mission statement. It's a tafkid. Vahashem pokad esora. Hashem remembered Sora. But why does it say it about what? Hashem pokad esora, and now she was going to have a ben who was going to be Yitzchak. This was a pekido. It wasn't just the fact that she got pregnant. Oh, happened to be she had a son. This is exactly very, very closely linked to the entire history of the world. The Jewish people are now being formed. Yitzchak is being born. Here is a pekido. When we say on Rosh Hashanah, Hashem should be peiked as Zoicher. It's a Yom HaZikaron. He remember. What do you mean? It's just a remembering? It's not. It's a remembering who we are and giving us our tafkid. We want to be able to fit into our mold and our purpose of our existence. And Hashem pokad esora means he remembered her and gave her that connection to her very existence itself. One of the reasons she was in the world was to produce a Yitzchak. To be the mother of Yitzchak at that late age. That was one of her pekidas. Hashem pokad means it wasn't just a remembering, it was actually bringing a memory of bringing out this tafkid. So a tafkid, pekida means to count, also means to be an appointment. We find also the other word for counting as well. To be moina. Mitochi basam, moina oisam kol shor. That's the Rashi we wrote. Moina, to count. To be memane is to appoint. Exactly the same as pekido. You appoint somebody or to count someone. Because the real counting is actually to give them an appointment, to say, this is who you are, this is your tafkid. So therefore the words for pekida means to, both pekida and minor mean to count and also to appoint. So that's mitzad, mitzad Hashem. But what does it mean? Why does Hashem count us? Mitochi bosom, what is the love that is manifest? So Hashem says, this is your tafkid. But how do we see a love manifest in that? So really, what's the big deal? Chazal say that the Malachim, they were jealous when they saw the encampment of the Jewish people. What's the big deal about how the Jewish people encamped? So, yeah, you had them over there and them over here. What's the big deal? The answer is, poshut, we all know what the answer is. That every Yid, every Jew in Klal Yisrael has a tafkid. And every person has to be in his position. And if you're not in that position, and you're in someone else's position, then you're in the wrong place. That's not what you're here to do. And when you're in the right position, and everybody's in the right position, then the whole picture is formed. And what the Malachim are jealous of is when everybody performs their function, when everybody in Klal Yisrael does what they're supposed to, then the what's made is what's called, what is greater than the sum of the parts. The Klal, the principle. What comes out of there emerges out of all these protim. Every single individual, what comes out of there is much bigger than the sum of the parts. Let me explain. Well, first let's talk about a minion. A minion, we call it a minion. We know that 9 people is 9, and 10 is not just another person. Once you've got a minion, you're good to go. You've got Kaddish and Kedusha and everything. There's a radical difference between 9 and 10. It's not just one more. It's a whole new world. It's a completely new entity. Now you can say Dvon Shabu Kedusha. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at Klal Yisrael, every person in the right place, then you're going to see what we call a Sefer Torah. What's a Sefer Torah? A Sefer Torah is exactly the same. We know one ice missing in a Sefer Torah. One letter missing from a Sefer Torah. The whole Sefer Torah is possible. We don't go Al Pi Rav. You usually go Al Pi Rav. No. One letter missing is possible. Then what do we learn from here? And Klal Yisrael are compared to Yeshishim Ice Yais BaTorah. Klal Yisrael. 600,000 letters in the Torah, Chazal speak about, and we speak about 600,000 members of Klal Yisrael. In other words, every Jew has to, you have to understand, we, everybody, is an ois in the Torah. Without that one ois in that right place, if you decide you want to be in a different place, then the Sefer Torah is possible. Every ois, but you put one letter next to the other, and then you get what's called a Sefer Torah. Which, by the way, the concept of a Sefer is also the same as a Mispar. Mispar means a number. A number is a limitation. In Hebrew, we have what's called Orei Sapar, border towns. A number indicates limitation. And yet, at the same time, a Sefer, why is a Sefer called a Sefer? Because it's actually a Sippur. It's a story. Well, what makes something a story? What makes something a story is one detail after the next. You put it together, and what emerges out of one detail after the other is a story. You know, if I give you a book to read, and I say to you, here's the rule. I'm giving you a book to read, but you're not allowed to read the book all at once. In fact, you have to read the book one word per month. And you'll finish it over the next 50 years. You're not going to remember the book at all. You're not going to know any storyline whatsoever. You read the whole book from beginning to end. Yeah, but you didn't see how one piece fits with the other, and therefore there's no story that emerges. But when you have one word after the next, and you see one sentence, very often when you read a sentence, you don't really understand where the storyline's going. A good novel will often do that. You'll have, like, chapter 1, lots of interesting information. I don't know what it's talking about. Okay, chapter 2. And then by the time you get to chapter 25, you suddenly realize, oh, that's why. In chapter 1, that had to happen. In chapter 3, that had to happen. Oh, and the whole thing suddenly just emerges. Unbelievable. What an amazing story. Suddenly all the details come together. And you suddenly see a story. A sippur. So when you take each mispar, which is a limitation, and you put it together, if you read limitations correctly, if you actually put the pieces together, you get a sefer. A sefer Torah. A sefer Torah is the same thing. If you read the base of Bereishis and the Reish and the Aleph and the Shin and the Yud and the Tov, it's all there in the words, but you have to read the sentence. And then when you read the sentence, you understand something. When you read the parsha, you understand even more. When you read the entire sefer, you understand everything. And ultimately, the whole sefer Torah is one, as the Ramban says, it's just one name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's all a giloy of Hashem. It's all one incredible story that emerges. Let me try and explain what I mean by this emergence phenomena. That from the details, what emerges is something greater. Like, for example, we said, when you read just one word, another word, you don't understand anything on its own. But when you read the sentence, it flows. A story emerges. So too, let me give you another couple of examples. Nowadays, you get cameras. The better the camera, the more pixels you have. Like, the more pixels on the camera, a lot of pixels. So when you zoom in, if your camera's, like, not so good, so you see after a little bit of zooming in, all you get is that you see the tiny little dots. Right? The picture, you just zoom in, and all you see is these tiny, tiny dots. Those are the pixels. So when you zoom in, you don't recognize that picture at all. If I show you this picture, and all you see is me having zoomed in. In fact, I can move across. You can see the top line, and then the next line, the line underneath. All you're seeing is lots and lots of details, but you cannot see the picture. But you are seeing the picture. But when you suddenly zoom out, and you take a step back, the whole picture emerges. You don't see. In fact, not only don't you see the details, you ignore the details. You don't say, oh look, that's an interesting, there's a black bit over there and there's a white bit. You don't see that, you see a picture. You see mamash the whole picture in front of you. Agav, I'd like to explain with that an interesting Gemara that people are well aware of. There's a famous Gemara that Moshe Rabbeinu was shown all the future generations, and he saw Rabbi Kiva giving a shir. And he sat in Rabbi Kiva's shir. So he sat in Rabbi Kiva's shir. And the Gemara brings down that he didn't understand what Rabbi Kiva was saying. It's a Pele. There's Moshe Rabbeinu. There's nobody like Moshe Rabbeinu. He's sitting in Rabbi Kiva's shir, and he doesn't understand what's going on. You're thinking to yourself, it's chizik for all of us, yeah? So, you know, but here's Moshe Rabbeinu. He doesn't understand Rabbi Kiva's shir. And then at one point, Rabbi Kiva says, oh, but this is halacha of Moshe Sinai. And then it says he felt better. Can you imagine? I got a mention. You think that's the Moshe? You think that's the pshat? What does it mean? It means the following. Moshe Rabbeinu saw the picture on the camera as a picture. He saw it as a complete picture. He couldn't see the picture like this. When you go close up to the thing, when he saw the pixels, you can't tell the picture. Rabbi Kiva lived in a world that was a fragmented and smashed world. Where when everything is shattered to pieces, when you have that beautiful vase and it's shattered to pieces, and the only way to actually see and ever use that vase again is to put all the pieces back together. So Rabbi Kiva, in his shiurim, in Torah, what are we doing? We're putting one piece next to the other and another piece, and we're trying desperately to try and have an understanding of what it means. So when I'm telling you about when I'm talking to you about the picture, the very picture that you know exactly what that picture is, and I start describing in fine detail, there's a black dot here and there's a pink dot there, and you don't know what I'm talking about. What do you mean? And then suddenly you zoom out and say, no, this is all halacha l'moshe Rabbeinu. This is the picture. And I'm just zooming in on this little tiny dot. So Moshe Rabbeinu saw the Torah in just the klal. So therefore, the protein at first, I don't understand, I've never seen this before, what do you mean? But when you see it afterwards, it's all the same thing. I'll give you another moshe why I experienced this once. I was once listening to somebody giving an interesting talk about language. Talk about language. Now in language, I'm no expert, but in language you can break down language also. I don't know all the technical terms and I try not to use them then. But you can break down, we know things like syllables, but there's things like phonemes and all sorts of breakdown. It means you take a sentence. The boy went to the park. Start with the sentence. Then what happens is, you can break that down to, park can be broken down to p-a-r-k, okay? And you'll spell it out. And you spell out each word, how it breaks down. And then that breaks down into more details. And I remember seeing this thing on the board, where you had a sentence at the top, and then that broke down into something beneath that, and then that broke down, and then you break that down. And so the bottom line, you look at it, you cannot read that at all. You do not recognize it at all, what it was talking about. And then when I say to you, no, it's just really spelling out what's in there, I can read that. So that's the difference between Moshe Rabbeinu and Rabbi Kiva. At first, he didn't understand, but when you zoom out and realize it's all part of the klal, then you understand it's all one big thing. Back to the protim, forming them, and the same with music, by the way. Music's the same thing. You see it in art, you see it in language, you see it in music. If you listen to music, yeah, when you slow music down, so at first it sounds very Russian. You know what I mean? It sounds Russian, like, you know, when you slow music down, you don't hear music, you just hear. But when you speed it up at the right pace, then suddenly what emerges, you don't just hear, but you don't hear like dots. You suddenly hear music, a beautiful piece of music, which sounds like a complete whole. It's not like lots of different differentiated bits. You hear a beautiful thing that emerges called a piece of music. And that's a Sefer Torah. One detail after the next, one ois after the next. It looks like one letter, another letter, another letter. But what emerges is a story. You know, when you take a young kid who can't read, and all he can read is recognize letters, but he can't read. So it's painful. That means the way he reads is, oh, there's an A, and there's an S, and there's a C, and there's a D. He's not reading. He's accurately reading what's written, but there's no story. But as soon as you start to read, ah, geschmack, the whole thing comes out of there. In fact, the story is so obvious that you don't even notice the letters individually. Because what emerges is much greater than the sum of the parts. And that's what's happening with Klal Yisrael. When Klal Yisrael are encamped in the Midbar, when each prat, each detail is in the right place, when this yid is over here and that yid is over there, and you're doing your tafkid, your pekida, what you're here, what you're counted for, what you're appointed to do, then when everybody's doing the right thing, what emerges is this incredible phenomenon called Klal Yisrael, which is much bigger than the sum of the parts. It's not just another detail. It's something which comes out of there. And this is the love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has when he sees every yid doing what he's supposed to. Everyone's given a tafkid, a number, not a number like we number people, but a number means a tafkid, a pekida, and you're doing your tafkid, and he's doing his tafkid. Now understand that Kol Klal Yisrael, everybody has a tafkid. And not only do they have a tafkid, but I need you to have your tafkid, and you need me to have my tafkid, because together we form one big whole, which is bigger than every individual tafkid. And the chibah that Hashem has is, let me count those people again. Let me show that love. Oh, and he has a value, and he has a value, and he has a... There's a chibah in this counting. Everybody has a value. And everybody together forms that unit, which emerges out of this thing called the protim, comes out of it the klal. And therefore that's why we have the Chaimish HaPikudim. The book, the Sefer itself, is called the Book of Numbers. Because Klal Yisrael are being formed in this Sefer. Bereshis is almost like you could describe the pregnancy of the Jewish people. That's where we're in utero. In other words, all the roots, the Ovos, that's where it all starts. Bereshis, there. Everything's encoded. Mais Ovos Simon Labonim. Shemais is where Klal Yisrael are now born. Leidas Klal Yisrael. When we come out of Mitzrayim, we receive the Torah. That's the marriage with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayikra is now spelling out our mission statement. Kedusha. And Devarim, I've skipped my Midbar a second, Devarim is going to be how we're going to take it into Eretz Yisrael. But the transition, the Bar Midbar, is when we, the Jewish people, actually have to carry out the Torah. It's the book that describes the carrying out of the Torah. The birth and the receiving of the Torah, and all of that's already happened. Bereshit Shemais VeYikra, but now it's Bar Midbar. How are we going to able to be carry out the Torah? It doesn't necessarily go according to plan. That's part of the problem of Sefer Bamidbar. We end up staying there for 40 years. But the focus is on Klal Yisrael carrying out our mission statement. That's Bamidbar. We're now living it. And therefore the Book of Numbers is not a number. It's a mission. It's a pekido. Chaimish HaPikudim. And that is, of course, also, that's the pshat in what we mean also by Sefer Sa'omer. Since also Sefer Sa'omer is the same Inyan. You're safer one day after the next. I count one day, but it's not one day in isolation. And another day, it's not the next day. Every day, you need to count all the days because you want to get to that 50th day. And what happens on the 50th day? Something which is much greater than the sum of the parts. Now we go from 49 to a completely new level called the 50th level. Kabbalah Satorah is a completely new level. Out of this world. The 50th level. This world is built by 49 levels, but the 50th level is beyond this world. And that's what we receive on Shavuos, but only because we put one detail after the next. The emergence phenomena, when the protim come together and form a klal, is the incredible experience of going through a sefira sa'omer, a counting of the omer. But that sefira is a sefer. Ultimately, it's a story, it's a book that is one unit and one whole. And that, therefore, is really the avodah also these days. The avodah is... You know, we have that experience all the time in our lives. We don't see the story of our life. You know, even, let's say a person's learning. I see one detail of another detail. I don't see the whole thing emerging out of there because it takes time. And there's an avodah one day after the next, one step after the next. But if we go on that journey and eventually have made every step of the journey, ultimately, in the end, we'll see how all our lives, our life individually and Klal Yisrael's lives and the whole of history is, as I always say, history is his story. That's the point. The point is you see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's story emerging out of there. At the moment you only see individual parts. But Yavo Yom, as they say, a day will come where HaKadosh Baruch Hu will reveal himself and he'll show you how every single detail that ever happened was not a pixel on its own, it was a picture which formed this incredible story called HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world. And that's the Ato Echad V'Shimcha Echad that we all hope for. Bayom Ahu Yih Hashem Echad U'Shmai Echad.